T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Carl, how are you, sir?
I am well. How are you?
We're good.
Fantastic.
We're good.
We're still stunned that the Jets have actually won 4 games already.
Right.
Well,
and
they kicked
butt
all year.
And kicked butt last night, Carl.
Yeah, they are fun to watch. I'm excited for my friend Todd Bowles, and he got the guys playing well. And, again, it just goes to show what people predict in the
right.
early parts of the year in the offseason. You still have to play the games, and humans can defy, you know, the what some people think is their expert logic. So I'm happy. I mean, he's got them focused, and they know what they have to do to win games, and they're doing it.
We were talking earlier about the veterans that they got rid of and looking at the locker room last year. Obviously, you got to execute to win games.
Sure.
But do you think it has helped that there aren't bad influences maybe in that locker room anymore?
100%. And I think the coach, if you got him in a private moment and not on air, he'd probably say the same thing. Or he may say it on air. I know for a fact. I've had that conversation, and he says the energy around the locker room is a lot better now. So I think that certainly helps when you remove those distractions and you've got a young team that's impressionable. You need a coach, a strong coach whose voice is the one that they're listening to, not dissenters that are disgruntled and looking to get out anyway. Because that's, you know, you got two young safeties there, both energetic kids, love to play football. Your running back's a fun guy. You don't want guys that are always just trashing the coach, breaking rules and doing crazy stuff, because young players think that's the way this game is played, that you can hold a team hostage. And I think to a large degree they had some of that. You know, those guys are out, no disrespect, but the Jets are doing what the Jets want to do now, and that's important in today's NFL. You can't allow players that are disgruntled to have a larger voice than a coach. It's too hard these days. You can find a guy and they'll write a check right in your face and laugh at you. And then, you know, everybody else sees it and they feel they can do the same thing. So I like what he's doing. I'm happy for him that he's got the group playing with energy, and, you know, I'm sure he's proud of his players too, because they're doing everything they can in the games they win, and they know exactly what they need to do.
Well, how would you handle the quarterback situation going forward with this team?
Well, he's not your long-term solution.
Right, well, we know that already.
So I think he's part of the team until they find what they believe is the solution, and I don't know if you plug the new solution in right away. You have to, you know, that's what training camps and mini camps and things like that are for, but that's similar to what the Kurt Warner, Eli Manning situation was. You want to win games while you get your guy ready, but once you declare you have your quarterback, you get him ready to go. And when the time is right, you put him in and you put the training wheels on and you take him off and say, let's go.
You know, I look at last year's Jets and this year's Giants, and there are some similarities. I think the expectations were higher for this year's Giants team, but what we saw in that Jet locker room wasn't good. And we saw guys being late. And what bothered, I know, Joe and I, was what felt like leniency from Todd Bowles. You know, sometimes the alarm clock doesn't go off. Right now with the Giants, and the season hasn't gone well, we all know that.
Sure.
It seems like we're seeing weekly suspensions now. You know, first it was DRC, now it's Janoris Jenkins. Do you like the way McAdoo is handling things in that? I mean, he's suspending guys.
No, I think he has to. And the reason I say that is it's up for interpretation whether or not a coach has lost the locker room, but I can tell you the way you keep it is to make those types of moves, because guys make a lot of money. And if you find them, that's not a deterrent.
Right.
and he still stays in the presence of the young, impressionable guys. You take a game check and suspend the guy, you're talking about $250,000, $400,000. That's a lot of money. Now, all of a sudden, and you're taking away his presence in the locker room, and you're taking away something that he loves.
You're hitting him harder doing it that way.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Fines mean nothing to these kids anymore. I mean, I remember being late.
But you got fined once?
I've been fined a few times. But really? I had a we had an off day or something. You know, we used to holler for 2 days off sometimes, and he gave us 2 days off and says, if anybody's late, I'm fining you like $5,000.
This is Parcells, obviously.
Yeah, and my unlucky butt got caught in fog in Michigan and got to the team meeting about, I don't know, 20 minutes late or something. And I felt like crap. And he took the money, and it was, you know, at that time it was still significant, but sure. I felt worse about being late.
You were already established at that time, though, right? Is that fair? You were already an established guy at that point, right?
Yeah. But I still felt bad about being late. I got the fine, but I felt worse about not being there after having 2 days off. And I understand what you mean. 20 minutes late. But these days, if that were to happen, you know, I've never understood this new concept of personal days in sports. But I guess that's something they negotiated in their new millennium CBA. But if a guy can continue to be a sourpuss in your locker room and you're finding him and he don't care, he's writing you checks and he can still just keep going and going and going, then he's not only disrespecting the authority of the coach, he's disrespecting the process and the concept of team. Right. And he's dragging people down. Now, I don't know that Janoris Jenkins is a bad guy. All my interactions has been good with him. But I can take exception to the fact that you don't show up when your team needs you and you're one of the best
without a phone call, too.
Best players, highest paid players. And I don't think a coach had any other option. How many games you got left? Nine games. Do you really think they want this to continue down? It's hard enough getting them prepared to win and focused and doing with all the things that they're missing, mm-hmm. getting them to focus on that. It's hard enough. But then when you have this stuff, your best player is basically saying he doesn't care enough to be where he should be. And he's, you know,
This is why I'm not giving a full defense of Ben McAdoo, because we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. There's plenty of criticism for him.
Sure.
But I remember last year, Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson were late, and the reports came out they're always late.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd Bowles sat them for a quarter.
Yeah.
A quarter. And I think our reaction was, that's the discipline? Now Ben McAdoo is obviously going a lot further. I mean, he's sitting a guy for an entire week. So isn't that good, is my point. If they're doing something wrong, is that what you're supposed to do?
It is. You have to do that in today's NFL. If it's conduct detrimental and it's within your rights to do it as a team, and the good news is the ownership is on board with it. Maybe ownership wasn't on board with Todd suspending Mo and Sheldon, but McAdoo has the full buy-in of ownership, or else the kid wouldn't have been suspended.
But I think what we're seeing, though, is when you're losing, it doesn't matter what you do, the coach will be blamed, rightfully so, right?
Sure.
If you are lenient on him, what are you doing? If you suspend him for a game, he's losing the locker room. Bottom line is when you're losing, and the Giants are losing a lot, they've only won one game all year, it looks bad no matter what happens.
Yeah, and you can't please everyone. Fans will have – I just had a discussion on social media with a guy who thought that this was a function of Odell Beckham, even though he's not there.
A function of Odell Beckham.
Yeah, what he brings to the team. And
like a lack of discipline thing, you mean?
Yeah, and then he's like, well, Odell went on a boat or whatever. Odell showed up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you want to look at, And this is a stupid argument to have, and yes, I am a defender of Odell Beckham when he does the right things. He's the hardest worker, the fiercest competitor on the team. And favor ain't fair. Yeah, he probably does get preferential treatment. But I'm sure he's not taking a personal day off and thinking it's okay. I think they would have some discipline for him too. But that's a hypothetical, you know, because he hasn't done that. What he does is shows up in practice. He shows up in games, and he plays hard. Whether you like him, whether you like any of his antics, that's up to you. You know what I mean? But when you show up and you play hard, regardless of whether your team is 6-1 or 1-6, that's what matters. That's what matters to good players in this league, because when you are packing your bags and you got 9 games left, that's more about your character than it is. And then you want to be respected amongst your peers as a great player. You're not going to get that. You're going to be looked at as a loser. You know, you're a front runner, and you can't be that. And, you know, it's a little personal for me, and, you know, I normally don't get this personal when it comes to this stuff, but I can't for the life of me stand when good players let their teammates down when they need them most.
Right.
You know, if you get a lot of money to play when you're winning and they pay you the same when you're losing, give them your best. And people say, well, you never had to go through that. Well, because we all gave a damn, you know. Whether our teams were good enough or not, our opponents knew that we're going to come out and we're going to play hard. And I'm not going to be the guy you laugh at walking off the field saying, this dude, he's over, he's done.
Right.
You know, and that's not too much to ask. You know, when you negotiated the contract, they paid you what they thought was fair and you agreed to. So give them a fair day's work every time. Your teammates need it. You could be the difference. You know what I mean? It's you look at, and I'm not comparing the two teams, but you look at a team that was written off, the Jets, right? They're out there competing. They're working hard. And they're finding the fruits of their labor in some games. And that's possible because you play the games. And if you play to win and you do the things that are necessary, you have opportunities no matter what your situation is.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
By the way, if I ever become president, I'm going to have an executive order to ban practices because Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
Teddy Bridgewater. And that wasn't that like during the offseason workouts,
I think?
It was
the offseason.
And now Deshaun Watson. What a non-contact.
How terrible is
Teddy
that?
Was at the beginning, right before the season.
Yeah, right before the season. Yeah. Yep.
It's unfortunate. The level of injuries that we're seeing, and it's big-time players, too, important players. I don't know how you prevent them. You know, it just happens. It's just one of those things. And, you know, the significance of his injury is probably no less significant than someone that lost an important offensive lineman or some team that lost off 4 wide receivers or running back. It's just it's unfortunate the way this thing is happening. I'm not sure what you can do. And I'm sure those who are opponents of practice will tell you that's why they wanted to eliminate practice times and they wanted to eliminate contact in practice, but that, I don't.
And this
think
is non-contact. Right. That's the scary part about it.
I think you need football in football. That's all I can say.
You know, one thing that's interesting though, we talk about practice because we, you know, last year and we've been all over Muhammad Wilkerson because last year I felt he mailed it in, and even the first couple games this year, he's banged up. He hasn't practiced now for like a month, and he's playing his best football of the year.
But I bet he's more focused. I bet the fact that he's not practicing. He's engaged as opposed to last year. He probably wasn't engaged. That's a difference. You know, guys that are still part of the process, even though they're injured, they're not being detractors.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're probably being as helpful as possible. I don't know for sure that's the case, but I would assume the big turn in his attitude and his approach to being a pro and being a leader on the Jets team probably has a lot to do with that.
And we've seen the leadership qualities change of Muhammad, like you said, Carl, because there was a report, was it like last week or 2 weeks ago, when he was reading the riot act to his team after the game.
After the Miami game,
that was it. So we've seen Muhammad kind of take on that mantle as a leader a lot more.
Well, and that's good because, again, he watched a few guys disappear around
sure.
him.
So yeah, that's a good point. Oh, yeah, sure.
And I'm sure he's still there, and he probably had a conversation with the coach and or the GM and said, there's a reason why you're here, and here's what we expect of you now going forward.
The keys to the local game, the Giant game specifically, Jets took those keys and they put it in the ignition very well last night.
I think the key to the Jets is to sack Taylor 7 times, shut down LeSean McCoy.
Force 3 turnovers.
Force 3 turnovers and rush for 194 yards.
I think you're right.
Yeah. and all of those things.
And don't turn it over.
And all those things going into this game, no one thought they could do, right?
Right.
No. LeSean McCoy had 174 yards the week before. It's like, oh, how are we going to stop him?
Tyrod
Taylor, he moves around a lot. Our pass rush is going to. They did exactly
they
what
did
they
everything.
Were supposed to. Yeah,
the Buffalo Bills.
That's
had
why this
three.
League is crazy.
Let me before I get into the keys, which are pretty simple for the Giants. The most impressive part. And this tells you how locked in these Jet players are to the importance of the little things now. And that's a coaching thing.
But
the fumble they got on the tight end.
Nobody
touches their awareness to get up, strip a ball out.
He wasn't even aware. He thought he was down, I think.
Right, and they got up, ripped the ball off, and got another turnover. Those are the little things that coaches appreciate. Those are the things that players begin to appreciate when they do it and it works. You know what I mean? Coaches, they try to beat these things. Play's not over. Play through the whistle. If you don't hear a whistle, be active.
Right.
They did it. I think that was I think that kind of sums up the effort that they're giving. And like I said, we're all aware they're not good enough to beat every team.
No, of course.
But when they do little things like that, they give themselves a chance, you know.
And they've been competitive against teams that talent wise we think are a lot better, like the Patriots and even like the Falcons,
and sometimes
despite their underachieving.
Talent wins. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But sometimes the talent loses when you're doing the little things better. And they're taking for granted that they can we'll make a mistake and cover up for it. But if you don't give them that chance and you play the field position game and the turnover game, it works to your advantage because more teams lose than teams that win in this league.
The Giants are facing a team that's had a very good season. I mean, their coach is basically being put in Canton right now. And everybody loves him.
5-2.
He's 5-2
right.
to start a career. Right, we'll see what he is. But he is off to a great start in Coach McVay. What are the keys? And, of course, they're brought to you by your Tri-State Kia dealer. Go to TriStateKiaDealer.com. Discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. Go ahead.
I say they show up and they play like they got nothing to lose. Just go out and execute their game plan. Now, this is a winnable game for the Giants. People are raving about what the Rams are doing. But they're a rhythm offense. They can be taken out of rhythm, and that starts with Gurley. The quarterback hasn't been challenged down the field. He hasn't been challenged with down and distance situations when he's behind the chains. They got playmakers. They've got to control Aaron Donald. He's a beast, and they move him around the line of scrimmage. But you can run on him, you can pass on him, but you got to control that. That guy can single-handedly wreck your game. But this offense. I like it, but I'm telling you now, there's going to be a series of games where they're gonna challenge this quarterback to win a game, and then you'll see what he is. Right now, he's in rhythm. They've got great play calling, no doubt about it. And until somebody can get them out of rhythm, you'll hear people singing his praises. But it all starts and stops with Todd Gurley. They got to stop him.
Sure. It seems like they've done everything to make – and you're right about what Jared Goff has been so far, but they've done everything so much better for him this year than last year. They gave him a big-time left tackle in Whitworth. Yeah, Gurley's having a great year. What a huge difference it makes, right?
Yeah, I mean, you trash a guy that says he wasn't even ready for the NFL
right.
and put a little talent around him, and you see exactly, you know, how well he can play.
It's true.
But, the Giants have to go out. They know what their formula is. They've got to run the football. They've got to control field position. And they've got to be, like I said, proficient at being average because they don't have things that they're, you know, receivers and things like that. So they've got to be good field position, not afraid to punt. Defense has to be complementary to the offense and special teams as well.
Did I see where Shepard's playing this week? Did I see that?
Yes.
He is
active. He's not on the out list as of
– Okay.
I saw Pugh, Vernon.
Right. Richburg is out.
Yeah. But he was not on that. So
Goodwin,
that's good.
Goodson is out.
Yeah, I hate seeing him out because he's a really good player for him.
Yep. How was it coming out of a bye? You feel refreshed? Do you feel flat? How do you feel out of a bye?
I think given the situation the Giants went into the bye with, I think they came back mentally refreshed because they didn't have this hanging over their head going into the next week right away.
Right.
So they got a chance to get it out. Also got a chance, coaches got a chance to evaluate themselves and see, okay, what do we keep in? What do we throw out? What's fixable? And I think that's where they did their work, and they got the guys back on the field and with a new plan. I mean, listen, it's 9 games. This is, you know, you can't take the attitude that you can't wait till this is over 2 more weeks. You know, this is 9. This is a college season right now.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know,
I actually think they play 12 now in the college season.
Yeah. Well, you're deep into your college.
Yeah,
you're early into your college season.
Right. Right. Right.
But
right.
It's too many games to concede a season. You just can't. And this, you'll find out a lot about the character of this player, the character of the staff. But there's a lot to play for. I mean, it's not just, okay, where you may not be playing for the playoffs, but you're playing to have a winning record. You got a chance to have a winning record. That means something. And it's 9 games is too many to walk away from.
And also, look, I'm not saying the Giants are making the playoffs. They're not going to run the table, though. You never know. Until you lose that 8th and 9th game,
sure,
you're not out of it yet.
Right. And
technically.
And this is the message that your coaching staff has to send, the message that the leaders of your team, your best players, have to send. And that's why I thought the suspension was appropriate, because you removed bad energy. And when he comes back, now it's come back, pocket's a lot lighter in his energy. He's got to come out and play now, because it's important to this coach. It's important to the players that are still getting. You think it's not important to Jason Pierre-Paul, who has played just about every single down this season? You think he wants to see a guy doing that? You know, he's showing up every single down. He doesn't come off the field for them.
Right, right, right.
You know, does he want to look over his shoulder at a guy who's making the, you know, he's a high-paid player too, and he's giving everything he has. You think he wants to look over his shoulder and see a guy who could care less? No.
Right.
You want to punch him in the mouth.
Sure.
I mean, legit. Like, if you got a guy who's doing everything he can, he's one of your highest-paid players, and he won't leave the field, and you got another guy who's perfectly healthy who could give a crap, at least in that situation, no, you got to get him out of there.
Yeah.
You know, be like JPP. When you come back, be like JPP.
And you hope he comes back with that attitude.
Right. It's imperative, because it's 9 games. That's a lot.
Yeah. It's more than half
a game.
Year.
That's a lot. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if these players think because they make so much money they can cash it in and not be called losers because they didn't play hard, in this town, you'll be a loser. They'll call you individually a loser.
You know, the other thing, too, I think, you know, watching football all these years, you know, if you're not playing hard, you're going to get hurt.
You're going to get hurt. That, too. Or, you know what, it's easy now for him to stay hurt and not even play anymore.
Right.
But the guys that you need, I can't emphasize it enough. Your best players have to be there. You know, it's just – look, if you're 2 games in and your car is packed and you're making vacation and plans and it's 2 games to go, we see that around the league.
Sure.
You got 9 games.
Yeah, right now.
9 games.
No,
show
you're
up, bro. You got you.
100%.
Hey, listen, they pay you that much money and you got a half a season to go and you think you're checking out, somebody's got to have a conversation with you. As simple as that. And I think when managers on board with the coach did the right thing. Whether you like the coach or not, whether you think he's good or not, in that case, he did the right thing, because you remove that. You don't need that attitude hanging around, and you can't find a guy. Like I said, if you want to get his attention, take a game's pay from him, especially these high-paid guys. It means something.
A lot of money, sure.
Losing $250,000, $400,000, that means a lot.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Mike is in East Meadow. Good morning to you, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Good morning, guys. First, I'd like to say, Joe, thank you for the autograph. My daughter Maureen was your waitress at Majors. I appreciate it.
You got it, bro. No problem.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Banks, your Giant team, I'm a longtime Giant fan, and your Giant team was one of the best Giant teams. I mean, I used to look forward to watching Giant football when you played. And you always played 100%. You never left anything out there. Every you, Lawrence, it was probably, I mean, the greatest football I've ever seen. But
let me jump in there on you a second. I want to say that the 1986 Giant team was the greatest Giant team in the history of the franchise. I would have to say that. As a guy that's seen the Giants since 1961, you guys went 14-2 that year. You were a dominant team. You were that's the best the franchise has ever had, 1986. That's just me.
Well, thank you.
I'm giving you the compliment.
We had a lot of fun, I can tell you that. Carl,
I have a question. Do you see a comparison between Eli Manning and Phil Simms? Now, I say that if you guys would have had half of Randall Cunningham as a quarterback, you would have won 4 Super Bowls. And I have the feeling that Eli Manning is not the 11th man on the field, the same way Phil Simms was a few guys. What I see is that they never, when you played, you left nothing out there. You left nothing. You did everything you could to win. And when I watch Phil Simms, the same way when I watch Eli Manning get inside the 20, throw an interception, hang his head down like it's someone else's fault. Get inside the 20, throw an interception, hang his head down. You never hung your head down, Carl. You never hung your head down. You kept your head up. He doesn't move out of the pocket. It seems to me he's more concerned with making his next game than he is with winning. What do you think,
I think you're sadly mistaken. Eli Manning, if you've seen him from the day he walked through the door, his demeanor has not changed. He's competitive. He cares every time he throws an interception. I mean, if you talk to him or you listen to him, he takes responsibility for every mistake he makes. So I tell you this, his competitive urge is no less than what Phil Simms was. Phil's a different type of guy. But there's a certain care to Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. And I'm not going to discount anything that Eli Manning has contributed to this team. So, you know, they all make mistakes, but I think you're totally misreading Eli if you think it doesn't matter to him when he makes mistakes. He's just his demeanor.
But I think that's part of, and thanks for the call, that's part of Eli's greatness.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
No doubt about
it. He can brush off the mistake like
right,
that.
If you talk to his parents, they'll tell you, if Peyton had to go through what Eli did in this town, he'd be a totally different type of guy. I mean, he's like their mental makeup is totally different, and he handles things a lot differently than other quarterbacks. So, but don't think it doesn't bother him when things aren't going well.
No, I think the ability to not care, the ability to just move on.
Yeah,
because I think one of the traits of Eli Manning that's made him, like you said, be able to deal with the pressures of New York City.
Yep. Eli will be similar to Phil in this regard. That when he's gone, people are gonna realize how good he was and say, wow. You know what I mean?
You know how that may not happen?
If a real great quarterback comes in after him?
If somebody comes in, that's possible.
But more than likely, you're going to be right.
But here's the thing about that. That great quarterback came in Andrew Luck.
Right.
And they didn't miss a beat for a year when they left. Look at the beat now. Yeah, I mean, someone dismissed a former player who said that Luck may not ever play again, but it's looking like this will be 2 years out.
Well, and the Colts also, Carl, like I remember right when camp opened, there was this thought of, wow, this Luck injury is more serious than the Colts are letting on, and they downplayed it.
They did downplay it.
Well, look what ended up happening.
Yep.
Yeah. Never got back on the field this year, so he'll be going into his second year, post-surgery. So you have a good quarterback, you cherish it, and you keep your fingers crossed that they can give you as much as they can, as long as they can, because it's slim pickings when they're gone.
The other thing, too, with Phil, just to jump in again about Phil, Phil had a lot of injury. I mean, Phil, the first 3 years of his career, he was hurt all the time.
I know.
And then you even go to 1990 when he got hurt, when you still won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But, you know, Phil got hurt in that Buffalo game. You know, this is a guy that's the second he took over, there's been no looking back with Eli.
Right. And, I mean, he had his hiccups early on, which all rookies do. But, yeah, he put them on a trajectory, and they've been winning games, and you know he's your quarterback. There's no disputing for any sane football fan or sane person with football knowledge you know he's your quarterback.
No question.
Harvey and Dix Hill.
There's
Harvey.
Yo, Evan and Carl, how are you all?
Harvey's having, I got to say this, Harvey, I feel bad for you from this regard, Harvey. You're having a rough year. I mean, first you had the Mets. You had the Mets, and I'm a Met fan as well. But Harvey had the Mets with all these expectations. The Mets turned into a disaster. He's got the Giants coming into the year with all their expectations. Although I will say this, in fairness, I got to say this to Harvey. I'm going to give you credit, Harvey. You kind of was skeptical coming into this year with the Giants, right?
He was with the Mets, too.
No, so I got to give you credit on that. I will.
Thank you. Three quick things, because I know we don't have a lot of time. You know, it's
there's always time.
80% of the time, 80% of the calls that I made and so many other people, and believe me, I'm not telling you that I know more football than Jerry Reese. Believe me, you know, I do study football and strategy, but I will never understand how the offensive line unit was needed such upgrade, and he and Jerry Reese decided that it wasn't that important. He refurbished the other units, you know, knowing how important it was to Manning, who, believe me, I have gained more respect for Manning over the years, why he didn't address that instead of putting them in a position to rearrange the same furniture, that's number one question for all of you. Number two, in terms of McAdoo, I think it's the rare coach in all sports, whether it's baseball or football, that can keep a team together during losing. Even though the Giants haven't been blown away, you know, a 1-6 football team has earned it. And then the third thing is that this is something that I don't understand, is they have one player that was missing. I thought about this. I can't believe it. The only player that was missing from that defensive line was Hankins. And Les Hankins is an all-pro defensive lineman. I can't understand how the same unit with the same defensive line coach is doing what it is. I mean, for example, in terms of McAdoo, I think I don't know whether it says more about Jenkins and Cromartie, who are two of their best players, or does it say something about the head coach? I'm not sure which.
Well, I can tell you this. When they are riding high,
yes,
and their top defense against the run last year,
right,
and they come in and they can't stop a nosebleed, I don't think they're getting coached any different. Coaches aren't missing tackles, you know. They teach the same techniques. I know that. I'm at training camp every day, and then I'm in the building during the regular season 3 days a week. So I see what they're teaching. That hasn't changed. Their energy as coaches hasn't changed. Players have some responsibility. Now, I'm not going to – I mean, you can think of a coach and you can think of a general manager, however you want, but your point in the defense lost – One player, and they become so bad. And I refuse to believe that Hankins was a guy that kept that whole defense together. I just refuse to believe that. So a lot of this falls on the players. You know, this is, you know, when I speak of these things, I speak of player issues. Now, people can debate whether or not they like a coach or whether they think he's good or whether they like the general manager. But when you have your most talented unit on the team and they're not doing well, you know, you can clearly highlight where that went bad. And that's some player issues there.
Oh, yeah.
So where do you
it's
think
great. And Harvey, thanks for the call. Wrong? Like, every
– it went wrong between their ears, Harvey.
Yeah, it's but every single player, Carl, is underachieved from last year on defense. It's crazy to think that.
Yeah, it's definitely true.
It's between the ears. They got great talent on that defense. But, again, here we have 9 games left.
Yeah. They've looked better the last few weeks.
And look, the offensive line were trending relatively well in terms of what they were doing in terms of running the ball.
Right.
And, you know, keeping them in manageable down and distance situations. I'm not under any illusion. If they get in the 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, it's going to be hard for them to keep the quarterback upright. But what they were doing with the run game, and Seattle took it away because – they got excellent defensive backs, and the Giants had their first-time wide receivers on the field, so they could just load the box and say, listen, we're going to put guys within a foot of the line of scrimmage and see if you can get it blocked, and they couldn't run the ball on them. But not every team has that luxury. They don't have guys that can line up, take everything away in the passing game and your run game at the same time.
Carl, always great seeing you, my friend.
Carl.
Have a great weekend. You got a bye weekend.
You got a bye weekend. That's right. All the love.
It's going to rain Sunday, so you can't golf. Tomorrow?
Right. Tomorrow I'm playing golf. I'm playing now. I'm right from here. I'm going right to the golf course.
Paramus. Oh, okay.
I'm right to the golf course.
That's right. Paramus is nice.
Now spend the rest of your day tweeting about the Giants and tweeting about, you know, Everything else.
I'll be watching football.
Our friend Sydney, he's just
Sydney is
our politically convenient friend.
Carl is great at doing a lot of things at once.
Sydney lives in a world all his own.
He makes it up as he goes. Sometimes.
Good seeing you, Carl.
Thank all right, Carl. All the love, Carl.
Great Carl Banks here in his weekly spot.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.